Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors. Welcome, everybody. It's good to have you here with this beautiful, beautiful summer morning. And for those of you that are online, do us a favor. Tell us, if you're on vacation, tell us where you're vacationing at, okay? That'd be kind of a fun thing to hear about what's going on with you and your vacation. And by the way, I hope that some of you, when you do take your vacation, you'll go online and check us out. Just talking to somebody that did that, and they said it was just super, super, super fun. So I want to start by talking about the day that I became Captain Steve. You didn't know. So through a set of circumstances, this has happened about 7 or 8 years ago, I found myself on a sailboat. It was like a 35-foot sailboat, and I had my son-in-law, Micah, with me, and I had a friend. And then the owner of the boat, who I didn't really know, I'd only met him one time, and so we sailed actually out of PB at the harbor out there, and we were going to go around all the way over to the point, over Point Loma, which is, you know, it's a pretty good way to go. And so we motored out, and everything's just going great. And we get out, and once we get out into the open seas, it was pretty rough, like way rougher than we thought it was going to be. And so, you know, we're just kind of going along, and really, it's like, I don't know how big the seas, but they were big. They were like, we were going way down, way up, and I'm like, wow, this is going to be an interesting ride, you know, but this time the sail is up, you know, and we're kind of cruising along. And we go around the pier, the OB pier, and we're probably about a quarter of a mile past it, and we're going south. And then suddenly, the guy who owns the boat, who had the rudder, I looked at his face, and he looked like he was kind of freaking out. And I'm like, what's going on with this guy? And he looks at me, and he hands the rudder to me, and he said, I'm going down below. It's like, okay. So he didn't even know if I had sailing experience. So I've got a little bit of sailing experience, so I'm like, well, okay. I figured he's just going to go down for a couple of minutes, you know, maybe he needed to use the bathroom or something. He doesn't come back up. And so the next thing I know, you know, the seas are getting a little crazier, you know, and I'm trying to navigate, you know, through it. And I'm just thinking, when is this guy? I mean, this is the owner of the boat, man. And so I'm just like cruising along. And so we get fairly close to the destination where we were actually going to drop off. We were going to go surfing. But by the time we got there, because it was such a crazy ride, it was already late afternoon and we didn't have time to surf. So I said, hey, guys, we got to turn around. We got to get back home, man. So I spun the boat around. And the entire time, this is just me. I mean, a lot of time is going by, and, you know, it's crazy. A couple guys got seasick, and that was no fun. And so we're trying to make our way. Finally, we get back to the harbor, and suddenly this guy pops back up. And I'm like, he no explanation whatsoever. Just comes back up, and goes, oh, thank you. Turns the motor on, we motor back in, and I never saw the guy again. But that was the day I became Captain Steve. Now, the reason I tell you that story is because today we're ending our series today, Mission Impossible, and this has been a big, big story about, it comes out of the book of Acts, and it's about the story of the church, but it ends with this amazing story that takes place out in the open seas, and I love all things seafaring, I love all things nautical, I love all things ocean, so when I read this, I'm like, yes, I get to tell that story. So today we're going to be in there. This story is actually, one of the things that I love about this story is it's told by Luke, who's the author, and he's actually there. When he's using language, he goes, and we, you know, this happened, and we, you're like, Luke, Dr. Luke is actually there. He's on the ship when all this stuff is happening. So I think in a cool way, it kind of makes it a little bit more exciting. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to do a bit of reading this morning. Turn in your Bibles, or if you have whatever mobile device, whatever you might have, go there, and we're going to read the first 12 verses. It says, when the time came, we set sail for Italy. So we just got to pause there for a moment and bring us back up to speed. So you recall, last week, if you were with us, Paul was in prison. Remember, he was in Jerusalem. They arrested him. They took him to Caesarea. And basically, he had to finally appeal to Caesar because the leaders, the religious leaders of Jerusalem were trying to kill him, and they had a plot all ready. If he ever came back to Jerusalem, they were going to kill him. So he said, I appeal to Caesar. And so for 5 years, he sits in prison through two different governors. But this is his time. He finally gets his chance to leave. So it's 5 years later. So when we came, when time came, we set sail for Italy. Paul and several other prisoners were placed in the custody of a Roman officer named Julius, a captain of the Imperial Regiment. And then drop down to verse 3, it says, the next day when we docked at Sidon, Julius was very kind to Paul and let him go ashore with friends so that they could provide for his needs. Now this is really interesting. I'm just going to make some comments along the way. This never happened. Like a Roman officer would never ever allow his prisoner just to go out and visit people. But this is how trusted Paul was. That this guy trusted him so much, he said, Paul, I know you. I know you're a man of integrity. And go ahead, go visit your friends. Putting out to sea from there, we encountered strong headwinds that made it difficult to keep the ship on course. So we sailed north of Cyprus between the islands and the mainland. Keeping to the open sea, we passed along the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia and landed at Myra in the province of Lycia. There, the commanding officer found an Egyptian ship from Alexandria that was bound for Italy, and he put us on board. So this ship that they would be on was actually a grain ship. It was about 140 feet long, and so you can give some idea kind of what this ship was about and how big it was. So we had several days of slow sailing. And after great difficulty, we finally arrived in Cnidus. But the wind was against us, and so we sailed across to Crete and along the sheltered coast of the island, past the Cape of Salmone. We struggled along the coast with great difficulty and finally arrived at Fair Havens near the town of the sea. And we had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall. And Paul spoke to the ship officers about it. Men, he said, I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger of our lives as well. But the officers in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. Boy, this was a huge mistake on their part. And since Fair Havens was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, and most of the crew wanted to go back on to Phoenix, further up the coast of Crete, and spend the winter there, Phoenix was a good harbor with only a southwest and northwest exposure. So it's a great story, and there's so much we can learn from this story. So I'm going to zero in on this. This whole week I was thinking about, so what are some lessons that we can learn from this story? Here's a question that I want us just to think about, all right, as it relates to our lives. Who or what is navigating my life? Who or what is navigating my life? Let me start with me. Are you Captain Me? Are you the captain of your own ship? You say, yeah, well, I know who's navigating my life. Me, I'm Captain Me. And I'm calling all the shots, you know? There's a problem with that. Now, if you are a Christ follower, I don't know if you know this or not. I hope you do, for those of you that are online, everybody. So the day that you said, I choose to follow Jesus was the very day that you ceased to be the captain if you took it serious. It's the day that you said, you know what? From this point forward, God is calling the shots in my life. God is going to lead me. God is going to set the direction of my life. That's what it means for you to turn it over to God and that you are no longer the captain anymore. Now, I realize this is a scary proposition if you've never done this before, and maybe you've never really committed your life to Christ and you're thinking, what? So, I mean, essentially, I'm not calling, really, I turn it all over to God? And the answer to that would be yes, you actually do. And here's what I've discovered in all my years of following Christ. It's the greatest thing that'll ever happen to you. It is the greatest thing that you'll ever experience in your life. When you no longer have to be making all the calls, consequently making all the mistakes, when you can have Captain Jesus, who's going to go, hey, look, I got a plan for you, I got a direction for you, and just follow me, this is going to work out great. Now, getting back to Paul for a second, Paul, by this time in his life, is probably in his late 50s or his early 60s. And you talk about a guy that's well-traveled. It's interesting, he's on this ship. There's 276 people on this ship. Most of them are prisoners, but they got the sailors and everybody else, the commanders. And by this time, he's already done 3 missionary journeys, most of them sailing. So nobody has more frequent sailing miles than Paul does. So when he talks about, you know, what's going on, these guys ought to listen to him. Of course, they don't. But the thing about Paul is if there's ever been a strong-willed person, how many of you are kind of strong-willed? Okay, you're nothing compared to Paul. I'm just telling you right now. If you read his story, he is one of the most strong-willed people you've ever. Some of you are saying you're not married to my spouse. But let me tell you, Paul was strong-willed. But here we are, he's in his late 50s, early 60s, and this is a guy who has learned to turn it over to God. And God uses him so powerfully. God leads his life. So having heard from God, you know, he hears from this angel, and he warns these guys. He goes, don't go. Things are not going to really go well at all for us. We're actually going to sink. It's going to be a terrible shipwreck. Now, what's interesting is when he said this, he's not saying don't go at all, because remember, Paul had an appointment with Rome. It was a divine appointment. He was saying, don't go now. That's all he was telling these guys. Don't go right now. Which really speaks to kind of the way most of us are wired, because this is the problem of Captain Me and Captain Jesus, where we're going, well, I'm with you mostly, Jesus, but there's a couple things that I'm not with you about, okay? And so on those issues, I'm going to just kind of do my own thing. And this is where we really, really go in the wrong direction. And a lot of times it's like God is going, like, have you ever said, God, I want to do it now? And God says, I'm not saying don't do it now. I'm just saying, or don't do it. I'm just saying, don't do it now. And we're like, no. They're because of that strong will. No. I want to do it now. I want to marry him now. I want to get the career right now. There's an opportunity. I'm going to walk straight through that door now. How many of us, if you've been walking with the Lord for a while, can now today thank God and say, I'm so thankful that I listened to you. Man, had I done that, had I walked through that door, had I taken that job, had I, whatever it was, you look back and you go, oh, you saved me from something really terrible. Or how many of us can look back with regret and say, yeah, I did it, and man, I messed everything up. This is why it's so amazing that Jesus would lead us, Captain Jesus. So are you being led by yourself? Or secondly, are you actually in the storm? So this is a great, great storm story. Let's read what happens next, beginning with verse 13. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. And so they pulled up anchor and they sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength called the Northeaster burst across the island and blew out to sea. And the sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and they let it run before the gale. We sailed along a sheltered side of a small island named Kata, where with great difficulty we hoisted aboard the lifeboats being towed behind us. And then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it, and they were afraid of being driven across the sandbars of citrus off the African coast, and so they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. The next day, as gale-force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing cargo overboard. I'm going to read verse 19 too. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and they threw it overboard, and the terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and stars until at last hope was gone. Sometimes, because we are so insistent on having our own way and doing our own thing, we get thrown into the storm. And so there's two kinds of storms. If you are a Christ follower and you've been following Christ for any length of time, you're not going to be spared from some storms in life. But God will be with you in the storm, and he knows the storm is coming, and so it's going to be about that. And sometimes you come out of the storm stronger, even better. But then there's the other kind of storm, and that's the storm where you say, it comes back to Captain Me, and I'm going to do my own thing, and you do it, and the next thing you know, everything turns out really wrong, and you are in a storm. In verse 13, it says, when a light wind began blowing from the south. And so, you know, we're all this way. Like, when we really want to do something, we're looking for any indication, like, I really want to do this. I'm not sure if I should do it. And then, like, any indicator. And these guys, it's like, well, we've got a south wind. Ha! God must be in it, right? Little did they know. You see, smooth sailing is not always an indicator that God is in it. Just because the door opens. You know, the door of a brothel is always open. Just because the door of an opportunity is open, you say, oh, well, that must be it. I'm going to walk into that door. Smooth sailing can look like the best choice, but I'm going to tell you, if God is not in it, it's not going to end well. Verse 14, south wind, verse 14, but the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength called the Northeaster burst across the island and blew it out to sea. Suddenly, like, whoa, what happened? Everything was going so good. We walked through that opportunity. See, once you're in the storm, part of the problem is hard to determine where to go. Which direction are we going to go? We're being tossed all over the place. Now, these guys, when they sailed, they did what they call celestial sailing. They sailed by the stars. The only problem was they couldn't see the stars. They're looking up and they're trying to get their bearings. There was no compasses back then. It was before they were discovered. They're looking up and they're like, we have no idea where we are. We're being tossed all over the place and we're this horrible storm. This is so often what will happen to us when we don't invite God into that part of our life and we're going, no, I'm just going to do it my thing. Next thing we're in the storm, like, God, I don't know what to do. I'm in this mess. I don't know which way to turn. I never expected this to happen. So what do you do? Well, here's one thing that you might do, and this is one of the lessons that we sort of in a metaphorical sense, they begin to throw stuff overboard. Maybe if you've made a bad choice and right now you're in the storm, maybe what you need to do is toss something overboard. Is there something in your life that's weighing you down? Is there something in your life that's beginning to sink the ship a little bit? And it could be a lot of things. It could be a person who's really, you know, not for you right now. They're having a very negative effect on your life. It could be a group of people. It could be something that just consumes you, that an activity that you've got into, and you can just feel it. And it is weighing your life down. And you need to you need to say, I'm going to toss that overboard. That'll not be a part of my life anymore. Let's read the next few verses. Verse 21. No one had eaten for a long time. And finally, Paul called the crew together and he said, men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all the damage and loss. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. Can you imagine when he said that part? None of you will lose your lives, but the ship is going down. Boy, it must have struck fear in their hearts. For last night, an angel of the Lord of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me, and he said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God, and it will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island. If you are in the storm because you didn't listen to God or because of a bad decision, what do you need to do? Repent. Own it. Just say, okay, God. I mean, God's always waiting for us to come back and say, I made a mistake. I made a bad choice. Just and then ask him for direction. Say, okay, God, in fact, just hand the wheel back to him. Go, you know, I've been steering, haven't been doing a very good job. Here you go. take over. And God will steer you out of the storm. With a group this size and the people online, I have a feeling there's probably a few people even today that are in a storm. Hand the wheel back to God. He'll get you out of the storm. And then, so what would be the next thing? You know, it's Captain Me or it's a storm. How about fear? Is fear driving your life? I know a lot of people that just live in constant fear. Let me just say, that is a terrible, terrible way to live. Let's go to verse 27. It says, about midnight on the 14th night of the storm. So they're 2 weeks into this storm. Can you imagine being on this thing and they haven't seen the sun and they're being battered around? As we were being driven across the Sea of Adria, the sailors sensed land was near, and they dropped a weighted line and found that the water was 120 feet deep. But a little bit later, they measured again and found that it was only 90 feet deep. At this rate, they were afraid that we would soon be driven against the rocks along the shore, and so they threw out our anchors from the back of the ship, and they prayed for daylight. They're like, wow, this is horrible. What's the worst thing you can do when you're afraid? Panic, right? We all know that. If you're a swimmer or in certain situations, you know you've got to hold it together. And that's what fear will do to us. When fear takes over, you got to look to God. And you got or look to people that have a strong faith. When I get into a situation where I'm really afraid, I always look around and I think, okay, who's the calmest person in the room? Who's the person who's got the strongest faith in the situation? Remember years ago, my family and I, we went to Costa Rica and we were doing a vacation over there. And we went to this place called Monteverde, and they've got this beautiful rainforest and there's zip lining over there. And so all of us went up there and it is a rainforest and it gets windy. So we get up in these big towers. Now, when you zip line, you're 400 feet over the rainforest. And it's beautiful, but it's a little scary. But then it's really scary if it's raining and the wind is blowing really hard. So we got there this one day, and the towers are kind of swaying like this. And we're like, and we're already there. We've already paid our money, you know, and we're walking up, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is scary. And so I'm trying to be strong for my family and you know, just like, oh, okay, this is going to be fun, you know. And I get up there, and just about the time that I'm really trying to figure out, like, how do I get back down? How do I get out of this situation? What I looked at was the guides that were there. And the guy, you should have seen, they were all smiles, they're like laughing, they go, hey, here we go, ziplining. And I'm like, oh, they're not afraid at all. Surely they've been in these conditions before. And so, still a little scary, but we ended up having a really, really good time. So, you know, that's the difference between fear and not having fear, being able to enjoy your life. You'll never, ever be able to enjoy your life if you constantly live in fear. Let's look what happens next, verses 33 through 38. Just as the day was dawning, Paul urged everyone to eat. You've been so worried that you haven't touched food for 2 weeks, he said. Please eat something now for your own good, for not a hair of your heads will perish. And then he took some bread, gave thanks to God before them all, broke off a piece and ate it. And then everyone was encouraged and they began to eat, all 276 of us who were on board. And after eating, the crew lighted the ship by further throwing the cargo of wheat overboard. Wow. Let me ask you this question. Is there an area of your life that is being driven by fear? An area of your life that just, when you think about it, it just, you get afraid, get stressed out. You can just feel it in you. And again, one of the most things that's said most in the Bible over and over is fear not, fear not, fear not. Why? Because we get afraid. There's the fear of the unknown. You know, I always hate to remind people of this because we're like trying to put it behind us, but we just came out of a fearful season. 2 years, I would say a lot of unknown. Like, okay, what's going on? How's this all going to work? How are we going to figure this out? Scary. And then there's all kinds of other things that happen. Like, you ever have the unscheduled meeting with the boss? And you're like, what is this meeting about? What is this? And you're just stressing out, like, what's going to happen right now? Or how about this one? You start your car up in the morning and it's making a horrible noise. What are you thinking? This is going to cost me a couple $1,000s or more. And you just get all stressed out. For some people, it's being alone. It's just like, I don't want to be alone, and it scares me that I might be alone. Or how about this one? And you know, if you're a person who watches news all the time, what's going on with Russia and China and the world? And it's just, you know, there's just so many things that can scare us. Well, this is what one of the disciples of Jesus said in 1 John 4:18. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. What's perfect love? It's found in Captain Jesus. I'm telling you, when you put your life in the hands of Captain Jesus, you're going to be okay. You don't have to fear. He's got you. So I'll tell you the rest of the story here. What happens is, so they're out there and they're being battered around, and finally they hit a sandbar. And when they hit the sandbar, it just begins to break the ship up. The bow strikes hard, and the stern begins to break up in the back. And so Paul says to everybody on the ship, he goes, okay, here's what we're going to do. And what's really interesting is by now, Paul is literally taking the ship over. And he goes, and they're all looking to him. They're going, okay, you're the God man. Tell us what to do. He says, so if you don't know how to swim, jump overboard and grab a piece of wood, because the ship was breaking up, so there was planks and there was wood. And he goes, if you know how to swim, jump in, swim to shore. And so they swam to shore. It says everybody made it. You know, I always wonder, like, did Paul swim, or did he grab something? Or did he grab wood and surf it in? Maybe he was the first surfer. I don't know. Just a thought that came to me. Don't let fear drive your life. Finally, is it God that's navigating your life? Because inviting God to guide you and pilot you will be the best thing you could ever do. And here's the thing. You say, well, does that guarantee smooth sailing? Not at all. But he'll be with you every step of the way. And sometimes he'll take you through the storm, and sometimes you'll go around the storm, but you'll know that God will be with you. You know, one of the things about Paul is Paul has a divine appointment. He's walking with God every step of the way. So where's the divine appointment? It's in Rome. God told him, he said, you're going to stand before Caesar one day. Okay, this is going to happen. He probably didn't imagine it would happen this way, but this is the way it was going to happen. But he's got one more divine appointment before he gets there, because they land on this little island called Malta. It's a really tiny island. It's like 18 miles long, 8 miles wide, and there's these native people there, and it's amazing what happens there. But when I was reading about this, I was thinking, I love divine appointments. How many of you have had some divine appointments in your life? Yeah, you just like, that was a divine appointment. And it happened, like, the longer I walk with God, the more I see it in my own life. Yesterday, I had one. It was really interesting. So I don't know how many of you know Danny Bias, and I used to be on staff with Danny Bias at a different church, and he was one of the pastors. And so this very last week, I got together with him, and I hadn't seen Danny in a long time. We spent about 2 hours together, just kind of catching up. And then yesterday afternoon, about 2 o'clock, I get a phone call from him. It's a frantic phone call. And I'm, whoa, Danny, what's going on, man? He goes, Steve, I don't know. He says, my family's taking me to the hospital right now. I'm not sure if it's a heart attack, a stroke. Something really, really bad is going on. And I said, okay, what do you need? He said, I need you to do a wedding. I said, well, when? He said, in 2 hours. I said, 2 hours? He goes, it's 4 o'clock. He says, 2 o'clock. He calls me. He says, 4 o'clock, wedding. But I'll send you the ceremony, and I know you can do this thing. And I'm like, gulp, okay. So I threw a suit on as fast as I could. I looked over the ceremony a couple of times, and I showed up, and, you know, it was like 100 people, outdoor wedding. Everything turned out pretty great. But I was just thinking, you know, check the box, another divine appointment for Steve Bombacci. And you too, I'm sure a lot of you, and a lot of times you don't even know it, but if you're tracking with God, if he's directing your life, you're going to have divine appointments in your life. And they're going to be one of the most exciting things about your journey with God, as opposed to Captain Me, always have to do it my way, forget divine appointments, I have to be in control. Why not get on the adventure with God? So they get to Malta. And so you would think by this time, after everything, especially that Paul's been through, that God would just set him up. Paul, we're going to put you in the Hilton. They're going to take care of you. You know, you're going to get a massage. You know, you've been through a shipwreck. No, what happened. The next thing that happens in the story, so it's raining, it's cold, and everybody's trying to get warm, so they try to build a fire, and Paul reaches over and he grabs a bunch of sticks, and what happens? A poisonous snake attaches itself to his hand and bites him. And it says that all of the islanders looked at him and thought, they knew he was a prisoner. They said, well, you know, even though the shipwreck didn't kill him, now justice is caught up with him. Must have been a murder or something. Well, Paul, it says Paul just shakes it off. And then now they're waiting for him to die. Apparently it was a snake that they were familiar with. When people were bitten by these snakes, they died, but Paul didn't. So some time goes by, and finally they go, he must be a god. And so they you know, that happens. And then, of course, I'm sure Paul at some point goes, no, not a god. He meets the leader of the island, a guy named Publius. Publius invites him to his estate. And when he gets to the estate, he spends 3 days there, and Publius's dad has dysentery. And so, basically, Paul goes over, and Paul has a gift of healing. He goes over there, and he puts his hand on Publius, and he prays for him. He gets healed. Well, the word gets out real quick, and next thing you know, there's a big line. People are coming from all over this little island of Malta, and Paul continues to pray for him, and it says everybody was healed, like revival on the little island of Malta. Well, he spends 3 months there, and after 3 months, because everybody loves Paul, and probably by now there's some Christ followers, good things are happening, they set him up. They totally set him and the crew up. Another ship comes in. They give them all kinds of gifts and everything, and they send them on their way to Rome. God is navigating the direction of Paul's life. And he wants to do the same for you and me. Here's the thing. When God is navigating your life, nothing can stop you. Not a poisonous snake, not a shipwreck. I mean, nothing. If God has a plan for your life, and he says you're going to get to Rome in this case, you're getting to Rome. It may not be exactly the way you wanted to get there, but God will get you there. That's the most important thing. Paul eventually makes his way to Rome. And I love the way that this plays out. It says when he gets there, there's a whole bunch of people that are waiting for him. And they're super, super excited to meet him. Now, Paul had written a book to Rome. Can anybody guess what the name of that book is? Romans. He had written a theological masterpiece called Romans, and he had sent it to Rome, and they had read it. So he lands there, and the word gets out there like, this is the guy. This is the guy that wrote the book. You know, it's like, you ever been to a book signing before? You're like, oh, it's him. And, you know, and they're there, and so it's a beautiful reception that he has. So Paul spends, I'm fast-forwarding because we're really at the end of Acts. Paul spends 2 years. He's under house arrest, but he has some liberties. He can go out. And so he's preaching and he's teaching. And, you know, from our perspective, we might look at this and go, if I were God, I would never do it that way. Like, what was God thinking? How could he allow Paul to be treated like that? I mean, poor guy. So much prison time. You're like, what a bunch of wasted time being in prison. Not really. You see, while he was over there, he wrote a few more books. He wrote a book called Ephesians. And he wrote another one called Philippians. And he wrote another one called Colossians. And he wrote another one called Philemon. Not wasted time. Because 2,000 years later, we're still reading those books. And they're blessing our life. And they're growing the church. So we might sometimes look at our life and go, I don't like this. And God says, no. There's way more. There's a lot more going on than you can imagine. There's a subplot going on. And I think for a lot of us, we won't know that, maybe for years. Maybe we won't know it till we get to the other side, that God was doing things and working through our lives in ways we never, ever could have imagined. I don't know if Paul ever had the opportunity to know that one day when you're reading the book of Ephesians and you're going, this is so good. I mean, he just was writing in prison. When somebody was reading the book of Philippians today and they're going, this brings me so much joy because that's what the book is about. And that's actually one of the next things we're going to do, that people would read that. He could have never ever known that. All he knew is that God was leading his life. So I close with this. 300 years after Paul passed, Christianity would become the state religion of Rome. You never know the impact that your life is going to have, but you have to be willing to turn your life over. to Captain God, Captain Jesus, to lead your life. So I leave you with this. Who's leading your life today? Is it Captain Me? Is it a storm that you're in? Is it fear? Or is it Jesus? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you love us so much, that you're patient with us, even when we make bad choices, and even when we get ourselves into a storm, and even when we doubt you so much, sometimes we just live in fear. You're still there. And I would just pray that in this moment, first of all, if there's anybody who has never surrendered to you and just turned their life over to you, in this moment, they would realize it's the greatest thing they could ever do. They don't have to take the responsibility for bad choices in the future because you'll be guiding them. You'll be with them every step of the way. I pray for those who are in the storm today. Bring comfort to their heart. Help them to know that if they'll just look to you, if they'll call upon your name, if they'll repent of being resistant to your ways and come back to you, that you'll lead them through the storm and then out of the storm. It's something much better, Lord. So, Lord, this morning, help us. Help us to trust you. Help us to know that no matter what's going on in our life, if we trust you, everything's going to be okay. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.